It's time for a bit of future nostalgia now on Sunday Extra. That's the name of an initiative of the University of Cambridge Library, which has the niche but important mission of safeguarding the knowledge of floppy disks. If you've ever used a floppy disk, well, that probably means you're a person of a certain age, and so is whatever data it is that's on that now obsolete digital storage format. Dr. Leontine Talbome is a technical analyst with the digital preservation team at Cambridge Library, and they've already recovered some digital treasures from the floppy disks of famous Brits. Leontine's Future Nostalgia project recently held a festival of floppies in the UK, and she joins us now from New Zealand, which hosted iPres 2025, the international conference for digital preservation researchers and practitioners. Leontine, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Hello.
Now, firstly, could we start with just a quick reminder of what floppy disks were or are and what particular archiving challenges they pose these days?
Yeah, so floppy disks were storage media that was very popular in the 80s and the 90s. They were used mainly on personal computers, and you could store anything from spreadsheets to Word documents to games on them. But sadly, because of their age, they're starting to degrade. So they're made from a magnetic medium. They're mainly plastic, but there's a magnetic layer on them, like iron oxide, that is starting to degrade, which means that they're getting more and more difficult to recover data from.
That's interesting. So does it have, if you like, a default degradation rate? I'm sure it can be particularly worse in certain ways of storage and the like, but are they all going to degrade to the point of non-usability at some point?
Yes. But like you say, there are certain factors. Some of them will degrade earlier than other ones. And that very much depends on a number of things. So one of them is the brand. So if they're well-manufactured floppy disks, they will last longer. But it also very much depends on where people keep them. What I've seen is that it doesn't really matter at what temperature you keep floppy disks. So they don't have to necessarily be kept in a cooler environment, such as some other stuff. But what is really important is moisture and mold. So if there's a fluctuating temperature, such as a garage or a loft, that's bad.
I can almost hear concerned Radio National listeners now thinking about the deep, dark recesses of various parts of their house where all the old tech gear is stored. There's certainly a zone for that in my place. I understand, Leontine, that you and your colleagues came into possession of some Stephen Hawking's floppy disks. I wonder if you could tell us how that happened and also what it has to do with tax minimization.
So I'm not the person to actually talk about this.
Okay, so we're not getting tax advice from you. That's good. We're probably worth clarifying.
Yes, no tax advice from me. Sadly, Stephen Hawking passed away, which meant that his family decided to donate his collection to us, but also to the Science Museum in the UK. So we basically have a split of these collections. And they basically came to us because Stephen Hawking used to be a fellow at Cambridge and a professor at Cambridge. So yeah, we basically, the university library takes in, of course, books because we're a legal deposit library, but we also have an archive. So we take in material and personal papers from people associated with Cambridge.
Yes, and I understand it came in through what's called the Acceptance in Lieu Scheme, which is a UK scheme which appears to be a way of paying inheritance tax by providing items of cultural, scientific, or historic importance to the nation. So, look, of course, we won't cast any aspersions on whatever tax was or wasn't paid by the Hawking's estate. But the take-home point, for want of a better expression, is that you got these floppy disks. So I suppose the question is, how hard was it to get the information off them and what did you find?
Well, we're still in the process of looking at the actual stuff that's on them. But luckily, Stephen used a DOS formatted computer. So within the world of floppy disks, they're actually one of the easier ones to recover from. So we've actually been very lucky in that sense. And I can say that we have found lectures and files from his personal computer on these. But they have to go through an appraisal stage. And then hopefully somewhere in the future, we can reveal more.
And before we go on to some of the more technical aspects of the challenges that you're undertaking, could you drop a few more names for us of the sort of people who you've got floppy disks from and the things that you've found?
I don't necessarily know if they're very well done. But we get a lot of floppy disks and material in from poets and writers within the UK. But we also get material in from a number of societies, including the Society for Psychical Research in London.
All right. Well, as I said, there are probably listeners now and indeed a host thinking, oh dear, this is the sort of thing that I should be getting into as well. Is this digital rescuing of floppy disks something that people can do themselves, Leontine?
Yes. So actually, quite interestingly, most of the tools and stuff that we use to be able to do this comes from the retro computing community, and they are mainly hobbyists that have figured out how to do this. So yeah, you can do it at home. There's a number of little machines or tools that you can buy online called floppy controllers, and they make it possible to connect old floppy disk drives to modern computers.
Is the quality that can be got from like consumer level products sufficient for your archiving needs?
Yes. Yeah, which is very interesting. So one of the tools that we use a lot is called a grease weasel. Love the name of it.
Yeah.
It's purple. Got a little weasel on it. But yeah, it's a tool that is widely available for anyone interested in it, and it does the job very, very well.
That's great to hear. Having the device that might be able to read the floppy is one thing. I suppose there's also a question of whether or not it's been damaged along the way. But also, will modern computers be able to read files that were made on different software decades ago?
No. So that is a big, big problem. So it's not necessarily a problem for the more nostalgic systems, or that's what I like to call them, sort of personal computers that people will know and recognize. So in the UK, we have a whole bunch of them, such as the Amstrad and the BBC Micro and anything that Acorn basically produced. However, we also get a lot of material in from more like business systems or systems that were used in like research labs, and they would have been written on specific systems that are quite difficult to basically decode or like get proper files from. So it very much depends on where the material has basically come from.
And once you get material off floppy disks, how do you archive it and display it?
Yeah, so that's another really interesting question, because once you get, there's like layers to this, because it starts off with the floppy disk drives themselves and trying to find the right hardware to actually be able to image it. But then you have an image, and then you have to like figure out how you actually get the files from this image. And then you end up with a whole bunch of files. And depending on what system they've come from, they could have been written for really specific obsolete software, which means that you have to go and track down that specific piece of software or that specific system. So yeah, it can be really, really challenging.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Leontine Talbaum, who's the project lead of the Future Nostalgia Project, which is rescuing floppy disks from all over the United Kingdom. And Leontine, I gather that recently you had a festival of floppies.
Yes.
And it sounds like a great day. What exactly is a festival of floppies, and what were the results of it?
Oh, it was such a fun day. So the day was basically split into two parts. So in the morning, we had invited attendees who could come in and build a workstation so that you could image floppy disks. So these were people who were in the retro computing community, but also people who work in memory institutions and may have done this before or may not have done this before. So it was very important to like bring everyone together. And we were also joined by the Centre for Computing History in Cambridge, which was really fun because they brought some really fun hardware along. And in the afternoon, we opened it up to the public so the public could bring in their floppy disks. And we called it Copy That Floppy Cafe in the afternoon. Oh, we got stickers and everything when people were able to copy their floppies. Yeah, it was really good. And it was really interesting to see what type of material people brought in. So some people brought in floppy disks that had family photos on it. Some people brought in old disks that they'd written their own little programs on back in the day. And we also had a woman who brought in floppy disks that contained stories that her dad had written, and he'd sadly passed away. But he would hide family members in the stories, but like change the names. And she was really excited to read those.
Oh, that's lovely. Fantastic. And obviously you're from the University of Cambridge Library. I wonder, Leontine, does that mean that you're ultimately interested with the files that are on the disks? Are you also interested in preserving the disks themselves?
Yes. So a lot of our discs will have notes written by whoever deposited them with us.
Yeah,
on the sticker. And from a computer history point of view, it's also really interesting to see what type of systems they've been used on. So like the graphic design of the label itself. So we are actually currently working with our conservation department to see ways on like how to preserve these for the long term, because we can get the data from it and like preserve the files, but it's also seeing how we should preserve it as an actual object. So yeah, it's really fun.
And once you've got the files off, is this a problem that inevitably recurs with different generations, or are we now confident that the storage formats that we're using and things being cloud-based means that the rescues that you're performing now are performed for all time?
Well, no. So digital preservation is like an active management, basically, or active field where we look after these files. So you really do need someone to actually sit there and make sure that the files either migrate to newer formats as the time goes by, or that there's a possibility to emulate these files in certain software or other tools so that you can actually access them in the future. Because we are very much like, if we can't actually access it, why would we even preserve it in the first place? And the cloud comes with its own difficulties because it's quite a complex infrastructure, which can make it quite difficult sometimes to preserve material from the cloud.
And I'm thinking with my sort of digital antiques roadshow hat on here, you haven't had anyone yet come in with, say, an old Bitcoin from back in the day that's now worth gazillions?
No, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? But I think there are probably some real gems out there on floppy disks that we've not discovered yet.
One other question. If the disk doesn't mount or it's hard to get the information off it, if the disk appears to be damaged, are there specialists who can sort of, at a much higher level of expertise, attempt to rescue material? Or if it's sort of broken, is it gone for good?
It really depends. So if it's on the disk itself, so like say there's mold on the disk, we have been doing experiments with our conservation department to see if we can clean them and get a better read from them. And that is successful depending on how far it's degraded, basically. But even if you can get the files off it and it's from a really specific system, that can be very difficult. What I've done in those cases is try to track down if I can find anyone who's used those types of systems and see if they can give me any data sheets or manuals or anything, any context about like how those systems were created. So yeah, it can be a real puzzle.
Well, it sounds like you are a very high level digital detective, and it's been great speaking with you, Dr. Leontine Talbot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Leontine is the technical analyst with the digital preservation team at Cambridge Library and the project lead on the Future Nostalgia project, saving floppies for the future.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.